Okay, good evening, YouTube. You got a little sneak peek of Sam sorting her hair out then. I clicked the wrong button on OBS. Sorry about that, folks. Sorry about that. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to tonight's FPL family. What a show we've got for you this evening. We have to start with... He's back.
Oh,
he's back.
What a moment.
Three unbelievable moments, wasn't it? Unbelievable moments. And we'll talk more about the Spurs fixture going forward. We'll talk about wild cards as well, because I've just played mine. So we'll get the feel for how that went. You are maybe going to play yours. I think before this game week, you were pretty locked in to playing your wild card ahead of game week 9. But having looked at your team, I'm not as convinced that that's...
It's weird, isn't it?
Doesn't feel like it's needed. But we'll talk about that a bit later on. We'll talk about our teams. We'll talk about how we got on. And we'll talk about the football from the weekend, including that 6-2 result from the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which was absolutely incredible. Just give us a quick feel for how you felt during that game without getting too emotional, if possible.
It was bloody brilliant, wasn't it? It was just one of those games where he came on and the first time he got the ball, I was like, go on, son. And then he messed it up and I was like, oh. And I said to you, I was like, I just need one. Just one. And I feel the floodgates are going to open. And
when you felt like he took the bench in a bit personally, do you know what I mean?
And that moment when he scored and he stood there as if the weight of the world just like lifted.
His celebration was definitely one of relief, wasn't it? More of like, of course he was happy, but he was just stood there as if to say, oh, thank God I've scored. And I've scored a worldie as well.
But it wasn't just that, was it? It was the rest of the team that made it for me. It was the Eric Dier just walking up to him and being like, you legend. It was Perisic running off the bench to get booked, running onto the pitch to celebrate with him.
So good.
You could see how much it meant
to everyone.
To Son, of course, yes, but to the team and to the way and the whole way the crowd reacted to it, everything about it was brilliant. And as soon as that one went in, I was like, we're getting more now.
Yeah, and Conte's reaction was interesting as well, because here's a manager that, you know, you're going pretty well, but let's face it, you've got one of the best, if not the best player, arguably, in your side, not firing so far this season. And Conte's got it absolutely right. I have to say, I thought it was a stroke of genius from Conte to manage him in that way at the weekend, honestly. Now, Son coming in and getting the free goals was obviously took him very, very well. But if you look at the overall XG of the three goals together, it was less than, I think, about 0.4 XG, the three together.
That's what Son's like, generally. Normally, that's what Son's like, isn't it?
Yeah.
He can return a worldie from a really low XG. It's just that this season, that's not been where we've been.
But the way that Conte sort of benched him and then thought, not only am I going to bring him on against a pretty poor Leicester defence, we'll talk about that a bit later on, because they were absolutely shocking, by the way, but a poor and tiring Leicester defence. And he just ran and ragged. He put Bissouma in the middle to sort of shore up the game. So I think you were 3-2 on at the time. 3-2 up at the time. He brought Bissouma on to kind of like, right, I'm going to hold my 3-2. And now we're just going to try and hit them on the counter with Son. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, the Bissouma transfer was the actual stroke of magic. I don't think that... I mean, yes, Son came on and changed the game, but it was the Bissouma transfer that really made the difference in that one.
The substitution, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think... It clearly made a difference, but it was the man management of Son during that game for him to bring him on exactly at that moment when they were tiring and coming on. Yeah. I thought he'd done really, really well. And now the monkey off the back is lifted, right? And now Conte potentially got his man back. I thought it was brilliant from Conte to manage it.
I feel a bit sad that it's international break now, though, because it was like, you know...
Got momentum now, hasn't he?
I do. I wonder whether, like...
Especially having been benched, you'd want to have a cup game or something in midweek and start him and he'd get a couple of goals for sure, wouldn't he? Because he must be on such a high right now.
Yeah, but alas.
International break it is, guys. International break it is. Let's get on and say hello to a few people before we get into teams and wildcards. And there were a lot of wildcards played this week. A lot of people played their wildcards this week, me including. We'll talk about how my team done a bit later on. And of course, we'll talk about not just how our teams are currently set for game week 9, but also we've got a couple of wildcard drafts to share with you as well. I've done one as well, because I looked at yours and I was like, you haven't taken that very seriously.
I did take it.
Oh, wow. There's some beauties in there. So we'll talk about your wildcard draft a bit later on.
You're a disgrace.
Some of the players you've got in there.
What?
Oh, my days. And some of the ones that you're missing as well. We'll talk about that.
You're a disgrace.
You've done a wild card draft. I've done a wild card draft, and we'll get in the comments, and you guys can decide who's got the best wild card draft.
It won't be you.
Why won't it be me?
Well,
mine's better than yours, I can tell you that
I'll
much.
I'll guarantee.
And I'm not even wild carded. Right, we've got a super chat from Cy Badette, the midfield master. Hey, Cy, how are we doing here? He's just here for the Snickers chat, apparently. Snickers chat. What? Can I just have a moment for you to explain what was going on in the Slack, in the Patreon community chat on Saturday, yesterday?
We all... Friday night. We all...
You were absolutely wetting yourself with laughter. Right. What was going on?
Okay.
Briefly, please.
The game was dire. It was so bad.
It was a terrible game. The Villa game.
So bad, that Villa game. I can't even begin to tell you.
It was not good.
And in our Slack channel, we have a match day chat. And the idea of the match day chat is that you go in and you talk about the match day. The games that's happening.
Not a lot to chat about.
People put in the assists, the goals, the bonus points, all of that stuff. Anyway, there was nothing to say.
No.
So I thought I'd start a chat. Just a general chat. Keep us all entertained.
Villa Saints was that bad.
So we started talking about our favourite chocolate bars, and then it went on a bit, and we were all talking about we discovered the mutual love of the Bounty, and then throughout the and then we went on to talk about desserts and various other things, and in the end, Matt,
you're really selling the Patreon for any potential new subscribers.
Right. Si will tell you, he was there, he was loving it. In the end, Matt, who was is supposed to be on a diet and is like he's done like ultra marathons and all of this, because I was banging on about donuts and various other stuff, he had managed to eat. I can't even tell you if he's in, but it was like he ate a brownie, a donut, and a bar of chocolate during this game. Honestly, one of the best and most funniest conversations I've ever had. Because when the guy, we just kept laughing because we were like, at some point, there's going to be 10,000 notifications on this channel. People are going to come in the next day and go, what were you lot on?
Honestly, I've never seen her laugh so much, guys. So thank you for that. It provided. I genuinely was trying to watch the game.
No, you weren't. Don't lie.
I had Carl Walker Peters. I was hoping for some returns.
You weren't. You put your iPad on and you were watching something else because you were bored.
I think I was watching Cobra Kai.
You were watching Cobra Kai. You got bored and started watching Cobra Kai. I sat and watched the entire game, bored out of my brain, bar the Slack chat, which was epic.
We've had a super chat from Samar95. Thank you, Samar. 70 points this week. Moved a million ranking, even without Haaland. So, Samar, you might...
Without Haaland?
You might want to think about putting that right, without Haaland, because, again, he's back on the score sheet this weekend and could have had more, but... 70 points, not to be sniffed at all. Very good indeed. And just shows you, here we are, sort of on the cusp of, not the cusp of, we've got 2 weeks until game week 9, but 8 game weeks in the bag now, nearly a quarter of the season done. And it still feels quite tight, doesn't it? I had a look on livefpl.net as to where I could move up and down. And even a goal or 4 or 5 points from one of my players would move me up 50k places or 30k places. It's still very close together, and it feels like, because of the fairly template start we had, I think it's breaking up. I think we're starting to have a bit of a variance in teams, but the way that it started, I think, means that it is going to be a bit like that for a little while to come. I think still going to be able to go up and down pretty quickly. So the point of that ramble is, if you are sitting here on a rank that you're not particularly keen on, don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. There is loads of time to go, particularly if you've still got that wild card in hand and you plan to play it soon. What else we got? A super chat from Cy. Thank you, mate. He's saying, still waiting on our burger night out in Five Guys.
Yes.
Is that what you guys, do you not talk about the football? You just talk about burgers and food and chocolate.
We did talk about the football when there was something to talk about. When they did their minutes applause for the Queen, we talked about that. It was brilliant.
Okay.
It was the best part of the game.
Okay, very good. Anthony Gary is in, one of our other patron supporters.
He was there as well.
And a member of the channel, Anthony Gary. How are you doing, mate? Just getting here, he says, hello, everyone. Hello, mate. Craig Glassford is here. How are we doing, Craig? Nice to see you. Stephen Harker is here. He said, it's so truly what you're saying about how tightly packed it is. He halved his rank this week with a score of 64, which is a very good score indeed. But I wouldn't say it's not a mega game week. It's a very good game, not mega. And he's halved his rank. So that just shows you can still move a lot if you can get a decent game week under your belt. KY is in. He or she is saying played the free hit this week. 86 points. Very nicely played indeed. A bit of a risk, I would suggest, playing the free hit. But that's paid off. 86. Nice.
Thinking about some of the players you might have had on your free hit. It could have gone. It's going to have gone one or two ways. It's going to have gone one or two ways, isn't it? If you went... with Sun and people like that, then you're absolutely loving it this
week. Very good. No FPL. I captained Kane this week, got a green arrow,
Me
so
too.
I'm now at 1.3 million. Very nice indeed. Matthew Wilkinson is in the chat. He says, my diet has gone out the window.
See? Told you.
There we go.
He has run 3 marathons and an ultra marathon.
He can do. He can eat what he wants. Basically.
I mean, to be fair, the guy is now like hero status in my mind that he can do that. And if he wants to eat 3 donuts in one night, who cares?
He can. He can.
He can.
Who else we got? John Tyner is in. Blackberry Crumble tonight, he says.
See? They're all in.
Ridiculous. Who else we got? Sabo Gama is saying, I was watching the Forest versus Fulham. Way more exciting.
Which I was.
Even though Mitrovic blanked. Can you believe that, guys? 3 goals in, what was it, 7 or 8 minutes? Was it maybe a bit more than that? But a short period of time, 3 goals. Unbelievable. Unbelievable from Fulham. And nothing for both Mitrovic and Andreas Pereira. The 2 players in their squad with the highest XGI so far this season to get a blank in 3 goals against Forest is quite incredible. Talk about variance. Raheem Khan is in. He's a member of our channel here at FPL Family. He says, just disaster game week. Just disaster. It is, Raheem. Sometimes you have these weeks, mate, but don't worry. As we've already discussed, it's tightly packed, mate. There is loads of time for you to get back in the game. Do not worry about it. Andy Natras is here. Hey, Andy, a member of the channel. Nice to see you, mate. How are you? Stephen Harker is in. Who else we've got? Andrew Yee is here. Hey, Andrew, nice to see you. We've got Ishak Baudi saying hello from Algeria. So we've got loads and loads of people. And we've got the man, the myth, the legend, FPL Harry is in. Had a good game week despite not playing the wild card. 71 points.
Is Harry speaking or is he being silent?
Why would he be being silent?
Well, didn't he get
to... Oh, my days. Did you see that on his channel? Oh, Harry, mate, that made us giggle, mate, that did. That was brilliant. So for those of you that missed it, so first of all, you need to go and subscribe to Harry's channel. That's the first thing to do. After this, right, after this, I'll go and subscribe to Harry's channel. Loads and loads of great FPL content over on FPL Harry's channel. He will tell you, as we will, right, the YouTube comments, and not you guys in the live chat, right, because you have the same people coming in, we love you, it's great, but sometimes the comments
are a bit random
in the YouTube videos get a bit random, and I think actually it was in one of his live chats. I think what somebody said in his live chat, you talk too much. And it's like, genuinely...
What are you supposed to do on a stream?
That's a live stream, as you talk.
I mean,
right?
It's a bit of a weird live stream, as Harry proved, so if you don't speak.
So he basically went, what am I talking? I just do a silent stream then. And he just put his mic on mute and just pointed at the screen for 10 seconds. What is that? I thought it was brilliant. Really, really good. So there we go. Good FPL content. And good comedy from
and good
FPL
silence
Harry
as well. If you're looking for some silence,
if you're looking for a bit of silence,
head over to Harry.
Harry's channel.
You won't get any of that here.
You won't get it here. That's 100% guarantee. You won't get it here. Sam, let's get onto the games, and we've got to rattle through these because we've not only got our teams to update on, bus teams, but we've got these wildcard drafts as well.
Mine's the
best to share with the guys. So let's just briefly. I say briefly. It's going to be very difficult to briefly talk about Spurs 6, Leicester 2. But we touched on it a little bit already at the beginning of the stream. Give us the kind of full Sam from FPL Family lowdown on this game and what you think won it for you in the end. Because Leicester were in this game, right? They were in this game for long periods of time.
Yeah, I mean, I said, didn't I? Who did I say it to? Somebody I said it to. I didn't think the Spurs defence was going to be that solid. It hasn't been over recent weeks. And I thought that, you know, normally Leicester and Spurs ends up being a 4-2 thriller with loads of goals both ways because both sides seem to forget how to defend in this one. Well, Spurs defending was all right for large chunks of it. We were so much better when they brought Romero on. I think so it's come out...
He makes a big difference too. I hadn't really noticed it until fairly recently. But in that first half, in particular... You sort of allowing Leicester to come on a little bit, and they were gaining confidence in the final third. Well, and when Romero come on, it did change that.
And
no
Romero
doubt.
Plays out from the back in a way that Davinson Sanchez just won't. He's not confident in that kind of style
notice
of play.
That.
He won't take
yeah,
the ball and go on a bit of a mission like Romero will. So that was at play. Also, I know that I seem to have become Ben Davis's biggest fan recently, but Ben Davis is a big loss for us. He's injured at the moment. He's apparently going to be out for another 3 weeks. He's a big loss because suddenly that three-way pairing that we normally have across the middle there with Davis and Romero and Dyer, more on Dyer in a minute, the three of them, we only had Dyer there at the beginning of the game, and it was noticeable that it was only Dyer that was there. The wing-backs do the wing-back things. And again, it was a bit of a weird wing-back system, though, because he played Sessegnon and Perisic and put Perisic on the other side.
Yeah, talk to me about that then. Why did he do that? Is that just a lack of faith in Royale? Or
I think it's less about a lack of faith in Royale and more about the fact that Royale... Because, of course, he normally would have Doherty to kind of interact with Royale on that side, but I don't think he's fully ready still yet.
Yeah.
So Royale basically hasn't had a game off. So I think it was more about the fact that he needed to give Royale a bit of a rest.
Yeah. Somebody had to play there.
And somebody had to play there. So, you know,
I think he's two-footed, Perisic. If there's one thing you can say about him, is he's two-footed. He's a... I really like him. Mm. I mean, it's an obvious thing to say is this guy's won trophies and he's won all sorts, hasn't he? But he looks right at home in your setup. He really does.
But I think, you know, the defence... So I think the bottom line is the defence wasn't set up in a way that we would ideally have wanted going into that game. And therefore, of course, that there was going to be opportunities for Leicester. Now, I think had it been a team other than Leicester, we would have been punished badly at the beginning of that game. It's just that Leicester didn't really finish their dinner for a number or for a large wave of that game. I mean, James Maddison was by far and away the best Leicester player on that pitch. Not even by a little bit. Like, it was like golfs apart from the rest of that team, in my mind. But yeah, so I think from a Spurs perspective, it was a good game. It was good to see the way that the system changed. I was glad to see Kudu come back into the starting 11.
The cross for Harry's goal was unreal, by the way.
I really like what Kulusevski does for the Spurs team. I really like the way that he opens up the play. And his pretty runs that he does in behind, and he just times them so perfectly.
Hold on. His pretty runs?
They're pretty.
Runs.
Yeah, they're
about?
Really pretty. They're what really
are you
nice
talking
ones
about?
In a way that Richarlison doesn't. Richarlison is a bit of a...
right.
Counter hot tin roof. He's there. He's everywhere. He's in and about. Right. He's hustling.
He's energetic.
Whereas Kulusevski,
he's more economic with his runs.
He's more tight. He times them in a different way. And I like that because he was able to get in behind that Leicester defence so many times. And Leicester basically gave us about 26 penalties every time they gave us a corner. It was like, well, what's going to happen?
They're defending
next?
From set pieces.
It's terrible.
I saw a stat earlier on Twitter about how many shots on target Ward has faced. It's something like 50-something, low 50s, and they've conceded 22 goals, Leicester. I mean, he ain't saving things, right? He's no good as a goalkeeper. I mean, this should not come as a shock to anybody. I remember in the summer...
There's a reason why he's been the understudy for so long.
Well, I remember in the summer saying to you, when Kasper Schmeichel left, I said to you, oh, didn't I? I remember turning to you saying, that's a red flag. And so it's proved, right? They are terrible at defending set pieces. I don't know what Ndidi's doing for the third goal.
It's not just
but
the defending.
The way that he dwelt on the ball and just got nicked by Bentancur was unbelievable.
But the thing
so
is, every time we had a corner, I said to you, look, they'd either left Kane, or they'd left Eric Dier, or they'd left Richarlison. One of them was always free for the corner. And it was like, well, what are you doing? You do not leave those kind of players free. And maybe that explains why I had such a feeling about Eric Dier for this one. I kept banging on, didn't I, about him this week, and I just had the feeling he'd do well, and he did. He got his goal, but I think that it was more about the Leicester defence being so shaky, and Conte got the system right. He realised that we were, because when he brought Bissouma on, we were at a point where actually, if anyone was going to go on and get something from the game, it felt like they might come back at us rather than that we extend the lead. So by bringing Bissouma into that midfield three, as they were then with Højbjerg and with Bentancur, it stabilised us better. We had more security. Ramirez would come in at the back at that point as well then. And it meant that then we went back to the kind of two up top with Kane and Son, where we were a little bit more used to playing. But I mean, I thought there were some excellent performances in the Spurs team. A lot of the credit is obviously going to go, and a lot of the conversation in FPL is going to go to Son now, and whether this is something that is a one-off.
What's your thoughts on Son then in FPL? Is this a he's back, get straight on him? He's on a, if you're on a wild card, get him in, or is this a you want to see a bit more?
I'd get straight on him now.
Would you?
Yeah, I think it's one.
I wouldn't.
No.
You got Arsenal next, haven't you?
Yeah, but he's got a good record against them.
I know he has, but Arsenal look incredible. We'll talk about them later. Defensively, they look really, really good. And Son's come on against a crap Leicester team that are knackered.
But it's all confidence.
I'm not saying it's confidence
with him.
Yeah, I know.
His XG's
you can't just go diving in on an £11 million asset because he's got goals against a crap defence.
Of course you can. Because actually, if you look at the underlying stats for Son, they've not been awful. It's not like he's not been having opportunities and he's not been getting chances. He's been getting chances in good places and he's been bouncing them off the bar or putting them just wide or just not quite going first time with them in the areas that he should have done. But he has been getting into those places and he has been having the chances, but the confidence rate has been at an all-time low with him. In a way that we've not seen in like 5 years.
His price point is so difficult, though, for wildcarders to bring in because you've got... Well, you're gonna have to probably decide between Salah and De Bruyne and Son, aren't you?
Yeah, but why do you want De Bruyne right now? They're going
to blank. What do you mean, why do you want De Bruyne
right
now?
They're going to blank.
Do you not see the guy at the weekend?
Just dead-end your team. No, I don't. I'm totally...
Why do you want De Bruyne right now?
This is where I...
They got two home games. You know, it's United and Southampton next.
And?
Southampton haven't kept a clean sheet since God was a boy.
What, and you think Come Derby's going to be what? A hatful for him, do you?
Yes, it's all good. Big game, Kev.
No.
Why do you want... Why would... As a wild card, if you pick Son over De Bruyne...
You're sensible.
That is a punt and a half. No, that is a punt.
That's sensible.
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong. But anyway. What about Harry Kane then? A goal and assist. Is that enough to justify his price tag? You happy with that? A 10-pointer?
Absolutely. I mean, okay. We're 8 game weeks in now. Well, 7 because we don't count last week. 7 games into the season. He's returning 6 or 7. Okay. Like, there's nothing not to like about Kane right now. Could have had and probably should have had more in that one. Particularly that ball that came in from Perisic and Kane's foot. Just, I was like, what? The points flashed before my eyes.
The points for any Romero owners as well flashed before their eyes as well. You see that miss
in
the second half.
Well, when he got flagged offside, he was saving his blushes, wasn't it?
What a miss that was. That was a proper central defense. That was like me, that was back in my day. When I was a centre-half, I'd have put that wide as well. I tell you, absolute rubbish at finishing. So good.
I have no comment. Prefer not to speak.
What else is there to discuss about this game? I don't really want to talk too much about Leicester, or do we? Because the fixtures are good going forward. And I have to say, I agree with you on the Maddison thing, right?
It's Maddison or no one, though,
looked all right. And were it not for, he should have probably finished better I think it was at the end of the first half or maybe beginning of the second. End of the first, I believe. And Lloris pulled out a save at a crucial time in the game. And Maddison didn't really have any other option but to just drill it down at his feet. Maybe a better finish and he would have had a couple of goals. But he's the one that actually, if you were going to go to Leicester on your wild card, and let's have a look at the fixtures, and the reason you'd want to go to Leicester is because they are right at the top right now. They're up against Forest, who for some reason just seem to concede a hatful of goals every time they get into a second half of games. Then it's Bournemouth, who again concede for fun. Palace at home, okay, bit more difficult. Leeds, Wolves. You can see why the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker would put Leicester right at the top. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say I'd want to go anywhere else near Leicester, but you can see why wildcarders would have Maddison, right? You can see.
Yeah, you can. I mean, my issue is that Leicester are bottom of the league.
Yeah. Like they, 1 point, right? It's not good.
They might have Forest and Bournemouth next, but they're above them in the league. Like, they've got more points above them.
Do you think Brendan's there by the time we come back from international break?
I'm amazed Brendan's there today. I thought he was getting sacked yesterday. Like, honestly, he looks like a man on the touchline yesterday. He looked like a man that wasn't that fussed. He didn't look like a man that was bothered that his team were losing 6 games, goals to 2. I think it's time for a change at Leicester, and
quite has been for a bit, I think.
I guess the question is:
do you not feel a bit sorry for him though? They've sold his best, arguably. I was going to say the best player, definitely the best in terms of leadership, in my opinion. Kasper Schmeichel gives you so much more than just being a decent goalkeeper. But even if he put all that stuff aside, the leadership stuff, and the fact he's a real Leicester ambassador, he is just a top goalkeeper, and Ward isn't. And then you take Fofana out of the mix as well. Vardy's kind of been in and out with injuries. I feel for him a little bit.
I don't.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't. I just think if you are the manager of Leicester City, I'm not being funny, but you know that there's issues with financial fair play behind the scenes. As the manager of that club, you know that this is coming, right? You know that they're going to have to shift some budget. You know ahead of the summer transfer window that you're not going to have budget to spend because you actually got to sell players to fit in with fair play rules. So he knows this is coming. He's had all the time since the last season ended to this season beginning to work on his form, to work on his team. Now, yes, you're right about players being injured. But nonetheless, there is still some quality in that team. You've got players like Maddison. You've got players like Daka and Iheanacho, who aren't bad assets by any stretch of the imagination. You've got
Ndidi's
players like
fallen
Harvey
off a bit
Barnes.
Of a cliff as well. Ndidi was like Kante Mark II, wasn't he, for a little while?
But why have they fallen off a cliff?
Injury mainly for him, isn't it?
I think in part this is, though, because of what Brendan Rodgers is doing. I don't think he looks like a man that cares anymore. I think he looks like a man that needs to leave the club because I think he's lost the passion for managing there.
Daniel Banks with a nice comment in the live chat saying, Jamie Tarr, I mean Maddison, is a transfer out waiting to happen. What's the show? Ted Lasso. Nice Ted Lasso reference there, Daniel. I like that one. And sizing with the super chat, Leicester need only one man. Allardyce, he says. Goodness me. Sam Allardyce at Leicester would be quite phenomenal.
It does keep people up.
And they
are in a relegation battle.
They do need something. If Rodgers is still there come the Forest game, I mean, listen, they've got to be targeting those next
five.
If
Rodgers is still there by the Forest game, Forest win that game.
Well, not sure. I just think they've got to, in those five games, if they're gonna survive in the Premier League, and that's not too dramatic a statement to make, I don't think, because this is Leicester City. They won the league not so long ago. If they are to stay up, they've got to get, what have they got to get? 10 points, 11 points out of those five games? They've got to get double digit points in the next five. Those five that I showed you, right? Those, what is that? Let's have a look. 2 seconds. Forest, Bournemouth, Palace, Leeds and Wolves. 15 points there between game weeks 9 and 13.
Wolves is tough. Wolves away.
It is, you know.
Wolves is tough. Yeah, was it home is. Or away, Wolves?
It's away. It's at Molineux. Even Palace at home.
Palace is
difficult,
tough.
Isn't it? It's difficult, given the form. But they've got to win. They've got to. They've absolutely got to. But remains to be seen whether they do or not. Let's talk about
Madison,
some other games.
If you do want to go Leicester and try and target the Fixtures, though, it's just you have to go Madison. That's it.
Okay, fine. Brentford nil, Arsenal 3. Let's go to the other side of North
London. Surprised
by
this one a bit, were you?
That are top of the league right now and looking absolutely red hot.
I was just surprised by the lack of Brentford.
I was sort of, but when I was watching the game, I was almost kind of pleasantly surprised by how well Arsenal controlled this game, right? The scoreline does not flatter Arsenal.
No,
right?
It doesn't. It's
a
all,
lot
no.
of the
no.
a lot of the some of the knee-jerky Twitter analysis was a bit like, oh, this is not the Brentford we're used to seeing. It's like, but why? Because they control, like Xhaka was unbelievable and Thomas Partey being back. When those two play in the middle for Arsenal, they control games so, it's just such a shame that he's injury prone, Partey. But if they can keep him fit, it's huge and they won't concede a lot of goals with them two there.
No, but you know, when the team news got announced, no Ødegaard, no Zinchenko, in my mind, I was like, right, this is a good opportunity for Brentford because this isn't a fully fit Arsenal team.
But they've got a squad now.
But they have
they
got
can
a squad.
Cover it.
They have. But this has got nothing really to do with Arsenal. Well, I suppose it has in some ways because Arsenal played really well. But Brentford, I just felt, were really off it today. Like, I just didn't see anything from them. Like, as somebody that was, you know, thinking about that third forward spot in my team and would Jesus survive beyond this game? I wanted him for this. But would he survive beyond this? Tony was a player that I was looking at. Obviously, there's Mitrovic, but there are some other players up there. Isak at Newcastle too.
Yeah.
Just a bit lacking today, but Brentford.
I don't think it was a reflection on Brentford at all. I mean, maybe it was the 12 o'clock kickoff that done for them.
I don't know, right?
But Arsenal, I thought
it's not ideal, is it?
Arsenal, I thought were fantastic, and they controlled the game so well. Even with Ødegaard not there, Fabio Vieira comes in, scores an absolute world of a goal.
Yeah.
Saliba again, who I transferred out of my wild card, which was that really, really hurt. I can take the goal from Jesus because I took Jesus out of my wild card. More on the wild card success, if you want to call it that later on. I can take that, right? Because when I take Jesus out of my wild card, I'm like, yeah, I'm taking a risk, and I know I'm taking a risk. So if he scores, I'm like, I knew it was a risk. It could happen. But with the fixtures going forward and no fixture in 12, I thought that's a risk I'm willing to take today.
But
Saliba, that hurt like hell, man.
But you surely still feel
hole.
The same, though, no?
What do you mean?
You surely still feel the same about him as you do with Jesus. Like, you knew that taking out your Arsenal players ahead of this game was a risk. But with no fixture in 12 and with the North London derby up next and difficult fixtures between now and the blank,
I still think it's the right decision. It just was the outcome. Was a shame.
It also didn't help that Max was gloating at you that he had Saliba.
I said Max
on his
is
team.
Oh man, oh man.
Max
man,
is
man.
Just smashing it every day at the moment. Every
he
weekend.
Nearly had a Hugo Lloris penalty save as well. By
did.
The way,
and actually, it was funny because I was driving him to school on Friday morning. I said to him, "Max, you've got to make your decision about your transfers. You're going to sell Salah this week, probably, dude. Who do you want to buy? You can go KDB or Son." And it took him ages to decide. And in the end, he was like, "I'll play it safe, mummy, and I'll get KDB because City are playing better than Spurs." I was like, "All right, fair
knows
enough."
Knows what he's talking about, that lad, doesn't he?
Yeah,
knows
but
what he's talking
should
about.
Have gone. And then he said the first thing he said after the end of the Spurs game was like, "Oh, I should have gone Son instead, shouldn't I, mum?" I was like, "What have we done to you? We've completely FPL'd your brain."
Yeah, but you could see his little head working out. Like when I said, or you told him Saliba had scored and he's in his team, he went, "Yes, Saliba," and then he was like, "Oh,
Arsenal.
That's Arsenal. Better not do that." Not do that.
He said that to you, and he was like, "Oh, yes." And then he went, "Oh, it's Arsenal.
Can't do
and
that."
And he was like, "Oh, but he might get a clean sheet as well." And then when I told him we got 3 bonus points, he was like, "Oh, great. Oh, that means Arsenal." Love
Let's have a look at these Arsenal fixtures going forward then. So here's the reason I decided to take out a couple of my Arsenal players, because it's the London Derby next week in 9, which is a very difficult game, right? I honestly couldn't tell you right now which way that's going to go.
Well, there's goals, right? There's goals in that.
I think so. Yes, I think so. Very difficult to say, though, that at the minute. Very difficult to say. I would say if Thomas Partey and Xhaka are fit, I'd fancy Arsenal.
Oh, shush.
I would. I'd fancy Arsenal to win that midfield battle.
Do I need to tell you to leave again? I've already told you to leave.
But both have got
week.
Very, very good attacking outlets. Then it's obviously Liverpool home after that. So two home games, but by no means easy games. Although I'd fancy maybe Jesus to get in behind our line. Leeds away. And then this blank in game week 12. This was the swinger for me playing the wild card. And it will be the swinger for a lot of you playing the wild card going into game week 9. Is you'll be looking at that fixture list for Arsenal now until 13 when it's Southampton and going, well, Spurs, Liverpool and a blank in there. Okay, the Leeds game looks okay. But out of the next four, am I going to get the returns that I want out of Jesus, out of Saliba, out of Martinelli? And in my mind, wildcarding last week, I thought, well, if I'm going to do the wildcard, now's my opportunity to get off of these players if it's the right thing to do, knowing that it was a risk for Brentford. And I know that it's a risk for these games as well because of how well they're playing. But it's that blank that swayed me in the end to selling Jesus and Saliba. And I was gutted. That game, honestly, has ruined my game week. Absolutely ruined it. But nevertheless, back against Arsenal at your peril. Nothing to be worried about from a Brentford perspective for me. I've got Tony. I've got him in my wild card. A blank today. I've got no problem with that. I did have a bit of a feeling that there's a bit of bad blood between Arsenal and Tony, isn't there? Do you remember in the All or Nothing documentary, there's that tweet that Tony put out and they hate each other, Tony and Arsenal. But he wasn't really in the game because they didn't have enough of the ball and he didn't get service, right? Now, in the fixtures coming up, let's have a look at the Brentford fixtures coming up. They read like this. Bournemouth next, which was a fixture I definitely wanted him for. Newcastle's tricky. Then it's Brighton, Chelsea, Villa. So they look okay. Really, I'm looking for Tony to pay me back in game week 9, because if he blanks against Bournemouth, he's then got Newcastle and Chelsea is two of his next three. And goodness knows what sort of Brighton we're going to get in game week 11 with the new manager, Roberto Di... What's your name? Zibiza? Something, I don't know. The chat will tell us, right? The ex-Shakhtar Donetsk manager. In case you missed it, Brighton have a new manager announced literally just an hour or so ago, coming in from Shakhtar Donetsk. It was one of his former clubs, I think. So, listen, Ivan Tony, for sure, needs to do something at the Vitality for me in game week 9. Otherwise, I'll be thinking about somebody else. Talk me through the Newcastle result then, and I do mean briefly because we've got to move this on to teams and stuff. Talk me through Alexander. I need to change the screen. There it is. Talk me through Isak. Then he got the penalty. What did you make of his overall performance, though? What did you make of him?
Well, I still don't really know. Feel like I've understood him as a player yet, which is part of the reason he was on my watch list. For that third forward spot, because I feel like with the likes of Tony, with the likes of Mitrovic, you know what you're going to get with those players. But Isak is still a bit of a unknown quantity, and I still don't think we've really seen the best of him yet in this Newcastle team. He's still, yes, he's got the goal this week when the other two didn't, but I still haven't worked out whether he's a better pick than the other two. I still haven't. Every time I watch him, I feel a bit like, yeah. I mean, it was fine.
I need to look at his performance a bit more because he was second overall amongst forwards after Harry Kane with 35 BPS this week. So that suggests that actually his underlying data is pretty good. I have to say, eye test-wise, I wasn't massively impressed.
No.
Not really. So I've got a bit of a disconnect there. His BPS and his stats say that he's doing all right. So Stats FC is saying he was good. Grass FC is saying not so good. I haven't made my mind up on him yet. Having said that, 7 million... for the Newcastle striker that's on penalties. Feels like good value, doesn't it? Either way, even if he's not quite up to speed yet. And he's a good player, right? He's going to find his way in that team and be good. No doubt. I'm sure of it. He's a good player. But 7 minutes just seems like really good value to me. It does seem like good value. Bournemouth, what are we saying? Two and two for Philip Billing. We going for him? No, absolutely not.
I don't think you're investing in Bournemouth, but they are top of the fixture ticker. If you run it all the way through to the World Cup.
Are they?
If you run it from...
Oh, yeah, they do that right there, aren't they?
Well, if you run it all the way to the World Cup in 16, they sit
top.
You're
not a Bournemouth player, are you?
Well, they're cheap, aren't they? So if you're wildcarding right now, would you not, as a cheap bench fodder enabler who could come on every now and then when them?
No.
Billing?
No.
Solanke?
No.
You wouldn't go Solanke because he's going to eat. But there are...
Too many other good options. Moving on. Too many other good options.
Where else
do we want to talk? We don't want to talk about Villa versus Southampton. What a terrible
game
that
if you
was.
Make me talk about that, I'm going to leave.
Let's not talk about then. A brief, and I do mean brief, overview of City smashing Wolves 3-0. Here's a game that we thought actually City might just squeak past Wolves because Wolves were defensively pretty good so far this season, but...
Gets a man sent off and you're in trouble.
When you concede after 50 seconds and you know, I thought, to be honest with you, Jackie Grealish was sensational that game.
And I know he's got a point
to prove, and going back up to the Midlands, they obviously hate him up there. And the fact that they were giving him a lot of stick pre-game, and you could see that because I was watching the BT coverage, they were giving him a lot of stick, the Wolves fans, and all that did was it just inspired him to do better. And actually, when your man Collins, who I don't think he's that sort of player, in all honesty, but he was already like, you could see in his little face, he's mid-air about to kung fu kick, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to get sent off for this," and he sort of does it anyway. You see his foot kind of try and pull out of it, but he's already up there. His foot's already out. And in his head, he's like, "Well, it's Jack Grealish, so I'm going to have a go at this lad." Do you know what I mean? He just got to his head, and he just lost his head, Collins, and it was a deserved red, no doubt about it. And from then on, City, I felt, were in cruise control. I felt like they could have easily won more in this game. Up until that point, Wolves were having a decent bash at it. They had a decent bash at it, and they tried to do the tactic that a lot of teams were doing against City so far this season, which, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough, isn't it? Basically, against City. And some teams that have done that have had a little bit of joy. But as soon as they met a man down, end of story.
It was over.
Go back to your previous statement about big game Kev, and you go Son over Kev, because I got him in my wild card, and I absolutely loved owning him because he's just so good. It's just so good.
Look, there is no part of me that's saying Kevin De Bruyne is a bad player.
Good.
Absolutely not. He's a fantastic player. My fundamental problem is that if you are wildcarding right now, you do not get three City players going into a blank. They've not got the best fixtures ever going into this next run of fixtures. Plus, you've got the Champions League thrown in the mix, and you've got a blank. So, why would you invest in three players at City, knowing that they're rotation risks, knowing that they will miss...
Kev's not a rotation risk.
Kev will get rotated.
He'll get brought off early, but he's not rotated.
He will get rotated, and they're a blank. What are you doing with these players in the blank? Because you've got Arsenal players, you've got Man City players.
I've only got one Arsenal player now. I'll figure it out when I get there. It's fine. It's no problem.
There are better options right now.
Back-to-back home games for City coming up. I am very happy to have Cancelo, De Bruyne and Haaland, and I will not be moving off of them. And I'll be captaining
Good for you.
Haaland most weeks, if not all 3 weeks. They are an unbelievable team. The way they play, I mean, even Foden, right? I took him out of my wildcard, gets a bloody goal, doesn't he? But at least the move I did was him for De Bruyne. So that feels reasonably vindicated. But if I could have four spots, I'd have four. If I could have five spots, I'd have five. They're just so good, and they're going to absolutely piss this league.
There's better options than going with Free City.
Quick shout out to, we've mentioned the chat already, but a quick shout out to our Patreon supporters.
We don't always talk chocolate.
Many of you in the live chat this evening, patreon.com/FPL family. If you just want a little bit more Sam and Lee in your lives, if you want a little bit more extra podcasts, Slack chat, if you want one-to-one Zooms, if you want entry into our Manager of the Month competition, if you want any of that stuff, and you'd like to come and support us here on the channel, then patreon.com/FPL family is the place to go. There we go. So quick Patreon plug. All the links are in the description below, as usual. Let's get on, Sam, to our teams this week. So a green arrow for you this week. 59 points, which sounds pretty good to me, especially not on a wild card.
And with 10 players,
because you were struggling to get the 11 out. So, yeah, talk me through it. Not bad, right? You take that.
I'm quite happy with this. Given that I didn't want to use my free hit, I wanted to keep it for a double game week in the future. I didn't want a wild card because I quite like my team. And I didn't know enough information. Like, when you wild carded last week, I was just like, I don't feel comfortable. I don't know enough. What's happening within the next game week? Who's playing? Who's not playing?
Yeah.
And I just didn't feel like I really was ready to play my wild card. And I didn't really love the free hit. For those of you that watched the Q&A with us or listened to our Ohana podcast on Friday, I kept looking at it, and I would have spent the points, but I didn't know who the hell to sell and who to buy. Like, I was like, the players that aren't playing, do I really want to sell them? And if I do want to sell them, who do I get in their place? There wasn't anyone that I felt like I would have sold Veltman. But I didn't really have anyone that I would really, really want to bring in instead of him. So yeah. I was like, it's a bit
Which
pointless.
Transfer did you do for this week? You did...
I did two,
right? Trippier came in, right?
No.
No, that was last week, wasn't it? When we had the blank game week.
Yeah, so I, in the blank, seven, in game week seven, I did Trent to Trippier. And then in game week eight, or ahead of game week eight, I did Salah to Bowen on a bit of a punt. And I did...
Talk me through this Bowen move. There's a lot of people moving for Bowen. It's just a fixtures thing, wasn't it?
It's a fixtures thing, yeah. It was a fixtures thing. And the fact that Everton had no Pickford today, and I was thinking, well, the only reason that...
Did all right, Begovic.
He did all right, yeah. The only reason...
Played quite well.
Well, in my head, I was like, the only reason why Everton actually kept a clean sheet against Liverpool in the end was because Pickford had an absolute worldie. And I was thinking, if the defence plays that they did against you lot, then that's going to leave space for Bowen in behind. Bowen had a couple of opportunities today, to be fair. He just didn't do anything with them.
Tarkowski was good, actually. I noticed he was top for in the CBI index in the clearances, blocks and interceptions. He was top by a long way, actually. He played really well.
I mean, I thought Bowen was just a bit of a punt. And it was one of those weeks where... So I was sort of at the point last week where I was like, I'm probably going to wild card in game week nine. So why not get a punty player in the middle? And see what happens and play the fixture a little bit. And then I did Greenwood for Kane. So I was a little bit disappointed in the end with the Kane captaincy.
Could have had more, couldn't he?
Because he could have had more. And he was such a differential this week.
Six
for
goals for Spurs and only a goal and assist. It feels a bit greedy, doesn't it? But it doesn't really. Six goals, you want him more involved.
And there was a few other opportunities during that game where I was like, that's a shame because that could have been an assist or that would have been another goal. And everything he did was making a massive difference to my rank. So when it was just the one goal for Kane...
Kane captain was a proper differential this week.
And when it was just the one goal for Kane at the beginning and he was on the three bonus points, I was at like at 1 point something million and I was like, yes, this is a big gain that Kane's causing here. So it does feel a little bit like a moment missed because he only got a goal and an assist.
You're still pretty happy with your three? I think we touched on this. I think I'm guessing the answer is yes, but Edison, Cancelo, Haaland, that's going to be your three going forward?
For now, and then I'll be selling Edison shortly.
Okay.
Either as part of a wild card when I get there, if I get there, more on that in a minute. And he'll become a different goalkeeper so that I've got...
Been all right for you though, only Edison. I mean, not that bad a pick, is he? Ticking over six every week.
I'm still really enjoying owning Edison, and I could, but it's just that in that blank game week, do I really want to play Ward? Like,
you never want to play Ward.
Nobody ever really wants to play Ward. And the way I'm now thinking about my team, because when I look at it, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but when I look at it for game week nine, actually, it's quite nice. So I'm now thinking, well, maybe I'll wildcard a bit later. And in that case, I can always bring Edison back. He doesn't change in price. So I could just sell him ahead of the blank and then bring someone else in instead.
Either way, green arrow, though. So overall rank up to 2.3, which, as we said before, is very, very condensed. So that is absolutely fine to be sitting there with a quarter of the season.
I think it's only like something like 70 points off of the top 10K, which is mad when you think about...
70 is a lot, though.
No, but when you think about the amount of people... places that is, 70 points is actually not a huge amount, like in that vast bank of people.
Okay, all right, here's my team, 59 also, so same score as you. This was my wild card team going into game week 8, and listen, it feels, you know, a green arrow is a green arrow, right? At the end of the day, I've played my wild card, I've got a green arrow, stop whinging me, do you know what I mean? But just a lot of...
Stop whinging.
Just a couple of bits that I wish I'd... And you know this is going to happen on the wild card. You know you're going to take out players that are going to get you goals. I wasn't expecting Saliba to get bloody 15 points, of course. That hurt like hell. I was expecting Jesus to maybe get something. So that's fine. I can take that, right? There's a couple of 50-50s that maybe didn't work out for me, like Isak versus Tony. Should have gone Isak. But listen, Tony's playing Bournemouth next week. Could be all change, right? I'm very happy to have my three City players, have De Bruyne in there with the 10-pointer, and to have two back-to-back home games now. No issue with having him at all. Kulusevski to get five and get hauled off early when Spurs score six goals. That was a bit of a shame as well. In the same way that you feel...
He played really well, though.
Yeah, and the one, I think he took the corner, which led to the... I think it was a... Somebody scored an own goal off their hand, didn't they? But Ward was alleged to have been fouled, and I thought it was soft, to be honest with you.
That could have been
another Kulusevski assist. And Kulusevski had very low effective ownership. So every time when he got that assist, I saw a real big jump in my green arrow. Same with Maddison, actually, when Maddison got that goal. And again, he could have had more in that game. But listen, I'm not going to complain with the seven. Didn't expect him to get much from that game, to be honest with you. It was more the fixtures coming up. Walker Peters was, you know, one Villa goal away from getting a clean sheet. His EO for me was 0.5. Would have had a massive difference if he'd got a six-pointer. Pope and Trippier just conceded the goal, right? So there's lots that was, it was a nearly game week for so many different reasons. There's a couple of 50-50s that didn't go quite my way. But, listen, it 17% up. So I was up from about 270k to about 220k. So that is fine. That is fine. If somebody had said to me at the international break, you'd have played your wild card, but you'll be at 220k. No issue. No issue. So that's my team. And if we look at our bus teams going forward into game week 9, I feel and I hope, and this is how I wanted to play my wild card, was you set it up for the weeks ahead, right? You set it up for what's to come. And given that Tony's got Bournemouth, Madison's got Forest, you know, Trippier and Pope, okay, I'm not sure about this double Newcastle defence going into Fulham away, but after that, it looks all right. I had James on my bench, ready to come in for this nice run of fixtures that Chelsea have got. So I was trying to play the wild card with a view to the future, which is how you, I guess, how you should play your wild card, in my opinion, how you should play it. Mitrovic is now there in place, is a player that I wanted as well. So I don't feel too badly set up for game week 9. I have to think about maybe what I do with Kulusevski. Martinelli, I think he's going to stay because I think he's too good a value. So if anything, it's Kulusevski is the one that might become Zaha or might become somebody else. I haven't figured it out yet. I actually have the exact money in the bank. I have 0.1 in my bank to do Kulusevski to Luis Diaz, assuming that neither of them drop in price between now and game week 9, which could happen. Obviously, if Diaz drops in price, I'll get him a bit cheaper, so that's fine. So listen, too early really to think about what I want to do in game week 9 with this team, but I like to think that I'm reasonably well set up. If I'm third bench in Andreas, home to Newcastle, and second bench in Kyle Walker-Peters at home to Everton, feels like I've got a reasonable squad. But talk us through your bus team for game week 9 then, because here's the reason you're a bit reluctant to hit the wildcard button. I've titled the live stream, I've titled tonight's YouTube video, Sam's Wildcard Active, and then just as we were coming in, you said, oh, I might not do it. So I feel like I should probably change the title of the video, but I can see why you might be a bit reluctant because the team looks all right.
I don't think I'm going to do shape. I was all kind of over the last 5 weeks. There's been so many moments where I've gone, maybe this is the week. Probably could get another week. This time around, and I knew this was going to happen because I sort of looked ahead at my team and thought, it's quite nice for game right. Nine.
Yeah.
But maybe I should. But then I was like, no, I should wildcard anyway because international break's always a nice time to do it. Plus, with the unlimited transfer window coming up in after game week 16, it was kind of that moment of like, you know, if I don't do it now, when am I doing it?
Yeah.
And you
shouldn't feel forced to do it, I don't
think. Well, no, so that's the thing. And so I got the deadline passed on Friday evening, and whilst talking bounties and burgers and everything else, I looked at my team and set up my bus team and was like, I really like it. I still really like my team.
I like it as well. I think it's well set up. That back line, I mean,
that's what most people are wildcarding to, that back
Cancelo, line. Cancelo, Trippier, James, that is the wildcard back line, if you ask me. And that even the front line, Haaland and Kane, a lot of people want to go for that. It's the ones you might want to think about, maybe Mitrovic, but with Newcastle, it's not one you want to rush to, I don't think.
Well, my intention was always to sell Jesus at some point anyway, for Mitrovic. That was always my plan. Or if I was wildcarding, my front three would have been Haaland, Kane, Mitrovic. So it's really not that difficult for me to get him anyway. That's easy enough to tell Jesus to do that. Bowen was always there as a 1 week punt last week, knowing the fixture's nice for this week as well, game week 9. But then
the West Ham fixtures don't look too bad.
No. And my plan was always to give him, you know, even if I'd wildcarded now, I would have still given Bowen probably one more week.
Just have a look at these West Ham fixtures because I'm a bit clueless as to what they've got. Wolves at home, Fulham at home, Southampton, and then it's Liverpool, but then it's Bournemouth. So yeah, except for that Liverpool game, you can see why people were going to Bowen. It's just the form was just not there for me.
And then I probably, and so that my kind of thought was that, well, keep him for game week 9, and then from game week 10, that's when I'm really interested in Zaha. So
yes,
then I can go Bowen to Zaha in game week 10. And then obviously I've got an issue coming up in game week 12 because I probably would have sold Jesus by then anyway, but then I've got Haaland and Cancelo and Edison. And like you, I'd probably keep Martinelli because of the value that he provides. So I would have
to
deal with...
Got some value tied up in him as well. It's a challenge with
Martinelli. Yeah, so I'd have to deal with that. But that you know, that all felt kind of achievable for dealing with
it. You wouldn't play Nico next week against Leicester?
But, well, Well, that is the thing. So, like,
yeah, you've got options.
I mean,
doesn't need wildcard.
Playing Martinelli against Spurs. Spurs defensively aren't solid. He could absolutely get something in that game. Playing Nico Williams, yes, absolutely. The only one I wouldn't want to play off my bench is Veltman.
But that's like, fine.
I can even look at that team and think I probably don't really even need to make a transfer unless someone gets injured over international break. So why am I wildcarding? So now I'm looking at that thinking, maybe what's actually the best strategy with this team, although it means limiting the effect of the wild card, is to wait until game week 12 is done and then wild card into 13, have three absolutely nailed weeks of just, I'm just focusing on those three game weeks up until the unlimited transfers, and I pick my squad for 3 weeks only.
I feel like you'd transfer out some points, a bit like I've done with Saliba and Jesus. You'd transfer out points there, wouldn't you, with that team?
I just feel like if I made transfers from that team, I'd make unnecessary changes. I'd sell players because I feel like I have to because the wild card is active, rather than because I actually need to.
Yeah, interesting. All right, well, let's have a look at these potential wild cards then. So here's the wild card that I was slating earlier that you've put together. I've probably been a bit harsh on it, but there are a couple of very interesting looking picks in there that I would not go anywhere near.
But I think you have to.
Okay.
This is my view is that if you're going to wildcard, you have to make some changes that are slightly different.
I don't think you do. Now's the time, before you dead end into the wildcard, is the time to have some fun with a couple of changes, like Son this week.
No, you see, I agree with you on that, but I also think that with a wildcard, as long as you're playing price points carefully, you can have fun with it. So, like, Chelsea's fixtures, nice. So why not? Why not? We saw good stuff from Potter. Why not go with double Chelsea? Go Sterling, keep James, knowing then that if Sterling's rubbish, there's so many places you can go to after him and just sell him on for. You could go to Zaha the week after if you want to, save loads of money. You could take a little bit of money. There's still a little bit back in the bank, I think, with this team, that you could then pop somewhere. You know, if you can find a little bit extra, you can take him up to the likes of Son, maybe.
Just noticed I've called him Brundo G. So
Brundo G.
Brundo, sorry, Brundo.
The Bruno Guimaraes pick is just, it could be anybody that price point, really. But I sort of quite like the Bruno pick because Newcastle fixtures are nice. So, but this is the thing. So I did this with my team in mind, as you can see. So if I was doing it, I'd be like, that would mean losing Bowen ahead of a nice fixture. It would mean...
It's a very fixtures like Sterling and Bruno. You get, those are the two that stand out for me as a bit out there. They feel like changes for change's sake. And actually, you're playing the fixture. Neither of them have really shown us any form or any FPL points. I mean, Sterling maybe, but at 10 million, there's a lot better options under that, isn't there? I mean, you haven't got a third City there, for example.
No, I wouldn't. Taken out Edison. But if I was wildcarding now, I absolutely would not have three City players.
God, dear me. So you wouldn't have like Foden rather than Sterling?
No, absolutely not.
Because you've freed one up by going Edison to inexplicably Henderson for some reason. And you've not backfilled that. But it blows my mind, this wildcard. Honestly, this is not... And we'll talk about a draft that I've put together in a minute. This is so far from what I would do as a wildcard. I can't even tell you. No free City ahead of two home games. Sterling, Bruno Guimaraes. Are you having a laugh with this? Is this a joke?
No.
Henderson.
No, it's not a joke.
Oh my God.
I'm deadly serious. Right. I would absolutely take some.
You got Haaland, that's the main thing.
But I wouldn't get rid of Haaland, would I, you nutter? He's got that too much value in him. So even through the blank, he's got to stay. Geez. Same with Cancelo. I wouldn't take Cancelo. But, you know, I do sort of like what Potter's doing. I liked what I saw in that Champions League game from Chelsea.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Harry's in the chat. He's saying, what is Sam on tonight? He's also saying, no Madison and Zaha.
No, because
Zaha... Kemitope is saying, Bruno, it's a big L, Sam. Ant Shepherd has just said, cack. I mean, it's like, it's not getting a lot of love.
That's fine. You asked me what I would do if I was wildcarding. Okay. That is what I would do. I wouldn't go Madison after seeing the rest of the Leicester performance. Unless Brendan Rodgers gets sacked, I wouldn't go Madison.
Si, by the way, is in the chat saying Sam is in the know. She's onto something. He's such a brown nose, isn't he?
Right. Who told you to get Eric Dyer on their wild card?
Oh, shut up, Eric Dyer. He's never scoring again in my life. Although
he's got two goals this season.
Notice
that he was Tanganga to get him in. Tanganga did follow that advice and he did benefit from those points.
All right, you could
have got him instead of Kyle Walker-Peters.
Okay, well, look, listen, you probably aren't going to wildcard this week. If you were to wildcard this week, this is absolutely nothing like what you'd wildcard. There's no way you'd have Sterling. It's too risky.
I would.
You've put this together as a sort of, I'm not wildcarding, but I want to just make a bit of conversation. Bruno's playing, he's playing CDM, isn't he? He's playing six for at the minute for Newcastle. Why would you have him? 5.6.
Well, somebody's got to get benched every week.
Oh my God, absolutely horrendous. Anyway, so that is your wild card, with the key targets being Mitrovic, Sterling and Bruno Guimarães.
Well, hang on, why has Bruno Guimarães gone down as a key target?
Well, what are the, those are the transfers you're looking to make. Sterling, Bruno and Mitrovic. I was like,
because you asked me, to be clear, you didn't ask me to start from scratch with the wildcard team, did you? Because if you were starting from scratch with the wildcard team, then the key targets would be most of the players I already own.
People in the chat are saying double Nottingham Forest defence. You are absolutely on one here, Sam. Absolutely on one. Right, feel free to absolutely lay into this then. Lay into this one. So this is my wildcard. If I've played it already, it's been and gone and done last week. But if I had my game week 9 wildcard, and there's already one big glaring thing in here that you should be ripping me for. If I had my wildcard this week, this is how I would consider playing it, right? The thing that you should be ripping me for is I've just ripped you for not having 3 City, and I haven't got 3 City, but more on that in a second. I would absolutely have Zaha this week. I'd have a decision to make between Tony and Isak up front, same as the decision that the wildcard has had to make last week. I think I would side just towards Tony, based on what I saw of, or lack of what I saw from Isak, to be honest with you. And I just think Tony against Bournemouth has got the fixtures to refine that bit of form after a bad game against Arsenal. Madison or Bowen in the middle, I think based on what we've seen this week, I'd stick with Madison. I'm still not feeling the Bowen love. And he's the sort of player that will pop up with a brace, I'm sure, at some stage, and we'll have won him back. But until I see that form, and I've seen it a little bit with Madison, that's the difference, is both teams are playing a bit crap. But we've seen it a bit with Madison, and he's on the right of that front throw, and he looks kind of dangerous. I don't have any Chelsea attack, so to your point, you said, okay, I want to go with Sterling because I want a piece of that Potter attack. I could get on board with that. I can't get on board with paying 10 million for him. I could get on board with paying, if you wanted to go somewhere different in that Chelsea attack, maybe I could get on board with it, but 10 million for Sterling is too much. So that's why I put a question mark by that Chelsea attack. The key move here is the Salah position. If you're on a wild card this week, I think that's going to be quite a key talking point over the next couple of weeks in the international break. I couldn't decide in this draft whether I'd have Super Kevin there or whether I'd have Salah. And in the end, again, I've kind of been swayed by game week 12.
You've literally sat through this whole stream and said you've got to have 3 City.
Right.
You're an absolute sellout.
Let me tell you why you should consider having Salah in that position then. So let's have a look at, let's go back to the fixtures. Game week 12 is going to be an issue for a lot of people, right? And it's going to be an issue because of captaincy. So we're not going to have Haaland. We're not going to have De Bruyne. Not going to have Hazard. We're not going to have any Manchester City or Arsenal.
Yeah.
So if you look at the game week 12 fixtures, where else can you go for captaincy? So Man United have got Spurs, right?
Mm-hmm.
At Old Trafford. Difficult game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to captain anybody there. Where else could you look? You could say Newcastle at home to Everton. So that's legit. You could, okay, Captain Trippier, be my guest. But still, not sure
Captain
I'd want to captain. Who else? You want to captain Isak?
Sterling.
You want to captain Sterling away at Brentford in a London derby.
Have you seen what they did today?
Maybe. But I'm not, I wouldn't trust him, put it that way.
I think there are plenty of captaincy options that you could have. Like, I don't think that it is a complete write-off to captain the likes of Kane or Son away at Manchester United. I think you could captain a Chelsea player if over the next few weeks we see what I think we might see from Chelsea, which is an improvement in the way that they're playing, then I think you could go there. I do think that Salah / the Liverpool attack is probably the standout option for that week, but I've got Luis Diaz. So there's no reason why you couldn't go there. I also am not convinced. So part of the reason why I'm also so uneasy about a wild card at this moment is I don't really know where I should invest from a Liverpool perspective. Like, there is a part of me that still thinks it might be Nunez or Jota that is a better pick. And therefore, that's changing the way the front line is, and it's moving some of the money up top. So this is part of the reason why I don't think that now is I think it would be different if my team looked awful for next week. I think I would definitely hit it. But because my team doesn't look awful, I feel like I would be making changes based upon circumstances that I don't really know yet.
Okay.
And that's why I think the wild card is difficult now, because you will have to take, they will have to feel like educated punts. But then I don't think that Sterling is a difficult one to go with this week. Okay. So,
well, I think the standout captaincy for game week 12 is Liverpool against West Ham at Anfield. I think we're starting to get our act together, and I think West Ham will struggle travelling to Anfield. And here's why. So I've put this together as well. When I talk about my Salah in for this wild card, and by the way, if you wanted to make a case to have Kevin De Bruyne for the next 2 or 3 weeks and then transfer him to Salah in game week 12, I've got nothing against that. You're booking in a transfer. So you could make a case for, do you want to do it now on your wild card, or do you want to book it in? If you want to do book it in, book it in. No problem, because you've got Super Kev then for another 3 weeks, and that is absolutely fine. But when you look at West Ham's couple of weeks leading up to the Liverpool game, they travel to Anderlecht on the 6th of October, which is a Thursday.
Who's this? Sorry, West Ham?
This is West Ham's fixtures, right? I just nicked this off of Google. They're travelling to Anderlecht on the Thursday. Then they've got a Sunday game against Fulham at home, admittedly. Then it's the reverse of the Anderlecht fixture again at home. Then they've got a long trip down south to Southampton on the weekend before. And then on the Wednesday, midweek, they play Liverpool at Anfield on a Wednesday, midweek. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that Liverpool don't have those European fixtures as well. We do. But Liverpool is a team that is used to this setup. They're used to the two times a week, right? We saw, I think, today, a really good example of West Ham not having the squad to cope with the fixture scheduling. They looked running on gas today. They're running on fumes. Second half. I need to watch the highlights on match today. I didn't watch the whole game. But they didn't play well today, by all accounts, against a fairly average, I think, Everton side.
No, they didn't play well today.
And they run out of gas. So what's that? What does that tell you? That tells you that midweek game, after what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4 games in, what, 13 days for West Ham. They are going to come to Anfield knackered. And I think we can beat him. So I would be amazed if I don't have Salah in game week 12, and I'd be amazed if I don't captain him. The question I think wildcarders have got to make, and the decision you've got to make if you're wildcarding this week, is, do you want Salah now and have him for the next, well, and have him until that game week comes around in 12 and you've got him there as the captaincy? Or do you book that transfer in and have Kev for the next 3 weeks? Or Son if you want, but for me it's Kevin. You have Kev for the next 3 and then you book that transfer in game week 12. That's my opinion. But elsewhere, that's how I'd have my wild card, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I think you could maybe make a case for getting Trent or somebody back in, but the way that we're defending, wouldn't necessarily say that that's a great move. Plus we've got a couple of really difficult fixtures in the next 3 before we get to that West Ham game. I think we've got City and Arsenal. So it's Brighton, I think, next week, but then it's a couple of difficult games. So tell me, pick holes in that. I'd love for you to say, like, why you'd not go with that. Because I think that's largely pretty template. I think most wildcarders this week will look at that.
So there's no difference between our back lines at all in that team. The only difference in the whole...
Would you go the 2 4.0s? Would you have Nico and Patterson?
Yes, that was what was in my wildcard draft.
Okay.
So it's identical to what I had set up before. The front three is pretty much the same, except I have Kane instead of Tony, and I prefer Kane instead of Tony this week.
Okay.
You can always take the money out of Kane, go to Tony or Isak later to invest the money across the midfield. So very little difference there. The only difference between these two wildcard teams is the players in the middle. I don't want to go Maddison because, let's be honest, Leicester are terrible. I don't see them getting off the bottom of the table anytime soon, even with the nice fixtures. I do like the Zaha pick, but not for game week 9. The fixtures are nicer for game week 10 onwards.
You're so not going to book that in, though, are you? If you're wildcarding this week, you're going to get him for those fixtures, aren't you? You're not going to book it in for next week.
Why?
You're going to have other things to do next week. Why? You're playing your wildcard, might as well get him this week. No. Even if you bench him against Chelsea.
See, we completely disagree on this, because if you're wildcarding this week, you shouldn't need to make a transfer at all the week after.
That's why you get Zaha.
No, because you can. So because you shouldn't need to make one, because you're building a team to last the future, you can then go, all right, well, in that game week, this is the transfer I want to make. So I'll pick a punt on a player that's got a really nice fixture in game week 9. Then I can move them to Zaha in game week 10. And then that makes for that nice change. When you look across that midfield, Andreas, and there's only three players that are actually different between these two sides.
Mm.
Salah or Kevin for you, and I would take a punt on Sterling in that position. Another cheap option, and I've got Luis Diaz instead of your Maddison.
Yeah.
And then so the only difference really is the Bruno Guimaraes versus Zaha thing. But he can become Zaha at a later date. Like, it's not... So I think you're talking all nonsense. Like, there's basically nothing different between this team, apart from that you've waxed lyrical this whole stream about Man City and then not put three of them in the team.
I think you absolutely can at Free City. And if you wanted De Bruyne in there... And change him to Salah in 12, I'd have no problem with that whatsoever. I just don't think... If you were wildcard in this week, I don't think you book in transfers. We fundamentally disagree on that. You want to be playing...
That's part of FPL management planning.
Nah, but you don't want to be booking him in like that. If you're on a wildcard this week, Zaha, I think, is one to have. He's one to have. But anyway, those are our wildcard teams. Let us know in the comments below what you think of that setup,
they're
right?
Different.
Would you be booking... Sam, they're completely different.
There's three players different. The whole defence is the same. The forward line's the same.
Look. Shut up before I start talking about Henderson in goal again and double Forest defence, which I didn't even twist a knife in on that yet.
Well,
but
Nico Williams is going to sit on the bench the whole time, isn't he? Let's be honest.
No. You're going to play him against Leicester next week, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I want the both of them for Leicester next week.
God dear me. Anyway, get into the comments below. Let us know what you think about our wildcard drafts and where you think we're going wrong. And let us know if you are wildcarding. I want to hear what you're going to do. Are you going to go Raheem Sterling as a bit of a differential? Are you going to go with Bruno Guimaraes? Are you going to book in a transfer for Zaha after the Chelsea game? Or is now the time to get him so that you don't book in that transfer? Love to hear what people's different wildcard strategies are, because I'm not a fan of booking in the transfer. And you do like, well, it feels like you're okay with booking in a transfer. Yeah. So anyway, we play it differently. Let's talk about this week. Sam, what's coming up this week? Lots going on this week, right?
We're busy this week.
We are busy this week. I'm busy tomorrow, I think, actually.
Not tomorrow, Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay, Tuesday. Ah, yes, of course, Tuesday, yes.
So, off the bench this week for you, and also...
Who am I off the bench with on Tuesday?
Praz.
Yes, my man Praz, who I've not been on a podcast with before. That's going to be epic.
And actually, I believe Praz is currently wildcarding, so you can ask him about Raheem Sterling.
I'm going to see if he wants Bruno Guimaraes and double Forest defence.
I hate you. At the end of the stream, you're going to move out. I've had enough of you. I told you to leave in the Ohana podcast the other day. I have to tell you to leave again.
I can't wait to see Praz's team. He'll have Sterling, I'm sure.
Absolutely, because he's a good manager.
Go on.
And then also this week, we'll both be on the official pod.
Yes!
You are coming to join me on the official pod this week. We've got to do it in different rooms.
My first, I've done off the bench with Gianni, didn't I? This is my first official podcast of the season,
the FPL pod,
and given that you're a regular and I'm the guest, it's the first time you're going to have double whammy FPL family.
It's never happened,
on the official podcast. It's never happened before. We've always been on separately. The producers are like, are you two going to give Jules and Kelly some space to talk? And we're like, yes, we will. Shut up, I promise. So for the first time ever, you're going to get me and Sam both together having the sort of nonsense... rubbish chat that we've just had here about wildcarding or not, or putting Sterling and Bruno Guimaraes in your team on the official
fancy
podcast.
We are actually
going to
be speaking quite a lot about wildcards as well, annoying.
I honestly cannot wait. I think it's going to be brilliant us both being on there. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. Poor old Jules and Kelly, it's going to be a nightmare.
Oh, don't you worry about them. Don't you worry about Jules, he'll hold his own.
I tell you what, I'm really... guys, again, comments. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you are finding the official fancy podcast this year with Kelly, Jules and Sam there as the... almost like the anchors, right? You guys are there as the stalwarts of the FPL podcast every single week. And I absolutely love it. I think it's brilliant. It's really
good.
It's good
fun this week. Last week, if you didn't listen to it, we had Liam Frey from the Catenas on. And it
very
was,
good, wasn't it? Yeah,
it's really
good.
So yeah, so we got a couple of things going on this week with Off the Bench. And of course, with the official podcast, we will be back with our favourite Ohanas.
It's international break time.
Ohana podcast this week, guys. And I cannot wait for the questions about bounties and burgers and all sorts of nonsense. But Ohana's also, the Ask Us Anything will contain things about actual FPL content as well, if people ask us those questions. So, guys, I'll be setting up and I'll ask us anything thread in the Slack over the next 24 hours. Might even do it tonight. And then you can start thinking, because I know that some of you will need lots of time to come up with the random questions that you want to ask.
Proper
us.
Good podcast. That always good fun, that, to be fair. Because we just, yeah, we don't talk. We can talk FPL if you guys want to talk, if the guys in the Slack want to talk about it. But largely they ask us absolute nonsense questions like, you know, chocolate bars and stuff. And
they know about my chocolate bars.
Would you prefer being attacked by, what was it, 100...
Horse-sized ducks, or one duck-sized horse.
Yeah.
The
other way around. Who knows? A super chat from Raheem. Thank you, Raheem, who's been a member here for 7 months now, Raheem.
Oh,
thank you so much. That's gone quickly. I remember when Raheem signed up, right? 7 months he's been a member of FPL Family. I was so happy when I saw FPL points written on the side of the screen during Soccer Saturday on Sky
on Saturday.
It's great. Honestly, guys, listen, I'm not going to give too much away, but Sky are properly getting into this, right? You might have seen some adverts for a show with Matt Lucas, and I think there's another guy on there as well. I can't remember his name, but there's going to be, you know, fantasy shows on Sky. You and I have got some more stuff lined up with Sky in the future. They're doing, as Raheem has said, fantasy points alongside some of their broadcasts and stuff now. Sky are getting into the official game in a big way.
It's great.
In a big way, and it is. I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it. So, guys, thank you for joining us tonight on FPL Family. Well done to anybody that's got, frankly, a green arrow this week. I think is a good result. If you're up in the 60s and 70s, that is an unbelievably good score. So rest up, take it easy over the international break, and we will see you in a couple of weeks after game week 9 has played out. We'll find out how Sam's wildcard with Bruno Guimaraes, double Nottingham Forest defence, and Raheem Sterling has gone.
What we'll find out is that wildcard is exactly what I should have done.
That's right. Guys, good night. Leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe if you're new around here, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.